that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wilms right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee. I'm Coach Peggy, and we're here on Transformation Talk Radio. You know you can catch me every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 Eastern. I'm always hanging out here talking about everything wellness. I'm always pulling up one of my favorite coffee mugs, so I'm going to ask Dr. M. I have my unicorn mug today. I was thinking about our topic. So mine says, be a unicorn in a field of horses. What is yours?
Mine appropriately says, keep calm and drink tea.
Of course it does.
And English, you know, it had to be.
I love it. I love it. Okay, awesome, you guys. I want to talk to you really quick about my amazing, beautiful guest here today. So we're going to talk about the first time. Well, the main reason I love this gal, that I found this gal, is because of comfort zones. I hear that every day. I want to push everybody right outside of their comfort zone. So we're going to talk about, when was the last time you were fearful, why it's important to be fearful and get out of the comfort zone. We're going to chat about that today. The amazing thing is that she's on the show today, part one. Then she's going to come back next week for part two. So I'm really excited. Now, let me tell you all about this wonderful woman. She is the founding partner of the Pinnacle Practice, and she is, it's a very well-known clinic in London. So she's across the water. She's a clinical therapist and performance coach holding a PhD in psychotherapy, mind-body medicine. Love it. Dr. M is also an international trainer in her field, metaphysical researcher in the reversal of various physical and psychological health conditions. Author of 5-star book. We're going to talk about that one the end of June. I can't get enough of this lady. She's going to be back at the end of June to talk about mind, body, and diabetes. But today we're going to talk about her book, Out of Your Comfort Zone. Welcome, Dr. M.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me on your wonderful show.
Oh, thank you. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. Always very busy, but very good.
Yes. And we have a little bit of a time difference here. So that's, thank you for joining me. All right. So you guys, I want Dr. M, first, I want to ask you a quick question. Did you write this book, this amazing book, because you have been so fearful, or were you coming across people who were fearful and not getting out of their comfort zone? Just initially tell me what your thoughts were with how you got here with this lovely thing.
Fabulous question. Personally and professionally, this has a lot of bearing because I've always been out of my personal comfort zone since as young as I can remember for so many reasons, but also working with people on a daily basis and how to get the best results really involves taking them way out of their comfort zone. And it's at that point when they confront fears and do the very thing they're scared of. And sometimes that can actually be just sat there on the couch and confronting everything. As you'll know yourself, it's a big deal for people. And when they break those boundaries and really push things out there and spill everything that they need to and be able to do the work on that, that's when they're out of their comfort zone. And that's when the profound change really happens, because when people change internally, it just changes the whole universe externally. And obviously, as we might go on later on, that's scientifically proven as well to be the actual case. But it's something I've observed through what I do in clinical practice, but also in training, in just being with people, in having other businesses throughout my life, but also personally, because I've had to grow up with type 1 diabetes, various traumas happening, something called Wilson's disease, which really took me out of my comfort zone when I was doing my A-levels, or probably in the States you say finals, but I was about 16, 17 years old. So just before you go to university, and it was a really important time in my life, and I kind of lost my way in terms of my mind. I was vomiting up acid several times a day, awful pains, bloating. I would sometimes put on weight, a stone of weight in a day. So, you know, that's kind of like moving up a couple of dress sizes during one day, you know. And I would go to the doctors and I would explain what was going on, and they would brush me off and just say, oh, it's your diabetes, out of control. But I've always been a very intuitive child, and it's heightened growing up, so I knew there was something not quite right, and something I had to push to really get resolved. So after 2 years of going backwards and forwards to the medics, they finally diagnosed a genetic condition, which had I not pushed that, I could be dead by the time I'm 50. So, you know, that really took me out of my comfort zone, and it was a very tough time going to university while that was all going on. So I really had to push my personal boundaries there. So I can relate to a lot of people as well. What fantastic, phenomenal things can happen once you do, you know, push your comfort zone and really put yourself out there. The results are phenomenal, what you can really discover. So in a nutshell, that's why I wrote the book.
No, that makes sense. I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if she spins this on me and asks me, well, Peggy, what was the biggest fear or the most, you know, recent time where you got outside of your comfort zone? I thought, oh, I better be ready for her. So I was thinking.
So, Peggy, what was that?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I actually probably, and I wasn't fearful at the time. And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh. So about 3 years ago, I decided to leave Colorado and I said, this is it. I'm going to stop working for corporate America. I'm going to do what I love to do, be in charge of my own timeline, my own content, what I love to do. And I'm moving to Florida. I love the sun. I love, this is going to happen. And we just did it. It wasn't where I sat there and thought, well, what if this doesn't work? I didn't allow anything like that to happen. So, which now I look back, and maybe it's because I'm 3 years older. You know, the older we get, we're like, what were you thinking? I mean, you know, but that was probably the most profound for me. So, yeah, we just, false evidence appearing real. I use that, and you use that in your book, where fear, we're afraid of what hasn't even happened yet.
Yes, I think that one originates from Zig Ziglar, actually, but it's such a great way of summing things up. But that's fantastic what you did. And I'm guessing that you've had amazing results as a consequence of actually just what to hell with it and going out there.
Yeah, exactly. I had somebody recently tell me there are just two emotions in the world. One is fear and one is love. And you know, sometimes I think, oh, love, you know, everybody passes that around so easily. I love you, man, you know, and it's just like that, not innate. Mm-hmm. But the fear thing pops up over and over. And I just sometimes try to play a plan B in my head. Like, okay, who cares? This works, it works. If it doesn't, go back to work for somebody else. So I let it feel a little bit loosey-goosey instead of just this rigid pass or fail kind of thing. So maybe it's being naive, I don't know. Okay, so I've got to ask you, you know, when I read this, maybe because it's my field and the comfort zone falls into my third pillar kind of my business, the mindset piece, but I have this thing dog-eared like crazy. I was going, oh, this is good, this is good, and this is good. So what is your take really on the way you flowed the book? Because I don't want to jump ahead. We've got this show and next week, but when you devised this and you've got the zone test and you've got lots of tools and strategies, and I know you were coming off of your mind, body, and diabetes book. So I am sure this probably felt like probably easier, maybe less dark. I don't know. But this flows really well. So what were your thoughts on how you you were going to take that?
Great question. Basically, it was a step-by-step approach. So it's how to incrementally take somebody out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I love this book because this is what I do on a daily basis. And absolutely, you picked up on that, right? It's less serious than the mind-body diabetes. However, it's more, in a sense, profound, because whether you have diabetes, whether you have any health condition, whether you have any challenges in life, limitations, anxieties, any form of holdbacks, fears or phobias, this book will help you with that. So it's a very generic, exciting book. So the format really starts with the zone test, which is an introspective quiz taking you through so many questions, which I can tell you've already done this.
I'm such a type A personality. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I get a good number.
Yeah, you, of course you will, because it detects the current comfort zone level. And we're obviously all at different stages in life, but the questions are very specific and tailored to certain personalities. So then it can detect how you need to help yourself in order to personally and professionally, whatever, evolve throughout life. And then the book helps you to do that with the series of resources, further questions, explaining how life and the universe actually works in order to get those results and in order to help people match with their real blueprint in life. Because it can be so easy with such a fast-paced life these days that we go on and we just go on in a kind of comfort zone, despite what level that might be at, but doing the same thing. And we can be really stuck in the sameness rather than moving out to what we really want. And we can forget, actually, what do we really want as people? What's our dreams? I always say, don't have dreams, have expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's really the point. Get back to your core blueprint of what would really give you joy and make you really happy. And so the book takes you through a whole series of ways to rip out any negative emotions, because it, as you rightly say, I talk about the only two emotions in the world metaphysically, which is love and fear. So everything positive you feel is derived from love, and all the negative emotions we feel really comes down to fear. And that's also, it's nicely laid out in the book in terms of which is on what side of how we feel. So we all want to be on the side of love, because although we are presented with curveballs in life and different fears that come at us from all angles sometimes, it's how we deal with it and being able to love ourselves enough to deal with it in the most possible positive way, and looking at always what we can do and having that right mindset to be able to go forward. So I do talk a lot about mindset, because at the end of the day, it's absolutely everything, and that really, you know, determines the paths we choose, our health, absolutely everything, the life we lead.
When I was thinking about the fear and the love in that division, I really work hard to think about, you know, if you're in that negative emotion and in that fear, then you're living in the past. Mm-hmm. And if you're living in love and gratitude and that emotion, then that's future-based, present-based and future-based. So I try to draw that line and go, really, if you don't get outside of your comfort zone, because that's where the love and the joy and the taking the leap and confidence is, that to me in my head was always future based, and the fear of the what if and all that were those patterns and habits and behaviors that I've already done well or poorly. So it's like, those are back there.
Perfect. I always say to a lot of clients, especially this week, actually, don't let the past govern the future, because people will get stuck with a lot of the what ifs. Well, I want to do this, but what if this happens? What if that happens? And the conscious clutter starts.
Yes.
And it's you're only saying that because of past experiences that you've learnt the negatives. And it's really once you let go of those negatives attached to certain experiences from the past, and they just become purely experiences that you can take the positive learnings from, then they just become wisdom. And that wisdom then allows you to live in the present and move forward and enjoy everything. And certainly at the end of the book, I talk about living in the quantum world, which is the future. And people don't realize a lot of the time we can actually have future memories. So you can fantasize as much as you like about the life you want. But the more you do that and the more you use every one of your senses to just drown your neurology in it, the more that actually makes it happen. As I say, the scientific reasons for that within quantum physics, but that's massively exciting. And that's really, as you were saying about the format of the book, it helped people identify the current comfort zone level, mm-hmm. identify what fears and limitations and holdbacks they have, how to just rip those out and let those go. And then once they're ripped out and we become a blank canvas, mm-hmm. and we start to then pinpoint what we actually want in life and what direction we want to go in, then we can align everything with our blueprint, and then we can put things in the quantum in the future. And then that's how what we actually want in the now meets with the material world to form our future exactly how we want it.
And when I went back to the zone test real quickly, what I loved about that is I got a 79 out of 100. So at least it,
brilliant.
The feet are a little bit wet in the get out of your comfort zone place, but it didn't make you, it showed you the opportunities, the areas of growth versus going good girl, bad girl type thing. Like, oh, you don't get out of your comfort zone. You're a wallflower. You know, you're not living life to its fullest. And the way you take it through that, the tools and strategies don't make you feel like you're not going to be your best self. Mm-hmm. You know, I really liked that. So you're doing this in your practice with all your patients. I'm going to totally throw you off here. Can you tell me in the last couple of weeks, somebody that just had a big aha that is getting what you've been preaching, sister? So do you have a client, maybe a client story recently where they're like, okay, I get it, Dr. M.
Yes. Yeah, I do. There's so many. I'm thinking of one of the best ones for you, actually.
Pick 50 for me to hear.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. I'll give you one. It's actually a young lad. He's only 21 years old, just turned, and he has severe anxiety levels, such that he's never been able to even see anybody, or he won't go to the doctors or anything. But he's actually, his mom got him to come and see me. So he started to open up. And although he's doing certain things that are very normal to you and I, it's a really big deal for him. So recently, although he didn't want to go on a holiday, somebody bought him, he actually did go and do that. He had to come back a day early, but the fact he actually went and was able to put some strategies in place really helped him to deal with things there, and he's been able to reduce certain medication he's been on. But his anxiety's also meant that he's not been eating, so he's painfully thin, to such dangerous levels. So I've talked to him about how actually not having the right nutrition, as you'll know yourself with what you do, is fundamental, because it will just exacerbate anxiety. So from not eating at all, not even drinking much, he started to rehydrate himself, and I've suggested things like eating just a tiny bit of porridge, or do you guys say oats in the morning?
Porridge.
Oatmeal.
Porridge. I love it. Porridge.
I think you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yes, really? For sure. Get his blood sugars up a little bit. Yes.
Yeah, but he eats
fiber.
The actual oats in porridge induce serotonin, which is the feel-good chemical. So that starts then diluting, you know, all the nasty adrenaline that's floating around his system, causing this anxiety. But also just something as simple as drinking water and hydrating all our cells, giving them oxygen, helps to bring everything back into balance. So he's been really doing so well, introducing all the other things in his diet. Even I suggested B vitamins because they help with depression and anxiety. So if somebody's B vitamin levels are so low, and of course he's not been eating, so they will be, that will just exacerbate anxiety and can even be a problem in itself, why people are anxious and may not realize. And also to take iron supplements, because again, missing vital food groups, he looks very anemic and he's very thin. So he's actually started, you know, taking all those, and it started making a huge difference.
So it's all blending together with the tools and strategy. That's amazing to be able to watch that growth. That's why we do what we do, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, this guy couldn't even swallow pills before. He's so fearful of absolutely everything. You know, the things we take for granted that you can eat or, you know, take pills or or not in our case. But, you know, all these things he started to implement, and for him, that's really pushing out of his comfort zone. I can actually see, and whenever I see clients, I can actually take on their emotions, so I can feel what they're feeling. So when he first came, it was quite horrible because it was an intense anxiety, and I could feel how awful he felt, but I could see and feel the changes lifting in him as he's actually implementing things. So that's phenomenal to see. But another story is a young girl. She'd been on antidepressant medication since being a young child.
Right.
Told she would never get off them by medics. So, you know, she just actually thought, well, she will be on them. She actually thought she was crazy because of some of the things they were putting, giving to her. And what I noticed, she was actually having a really bad reaction to the side effects of all the medications she tried, and she tried a whole host of everything. So I said, that actually sounds like your body is rejecting them because it doesn't really need them. And as I started to dig and go through her medical notes, yes, she'd had some minor traumas happen in childhood, but nothing to suggest why she should have such profound anxiety and depression. And just talking to her even more, it actually occurred that she had more of an intuition, a deep intuition about it, or something I call an alert radar in your mind, where some of us are just more sensitive to emotions and can pick up on other people's vibes. And that was the case for her, and she'd never been able to understand that before. And obviously as a child you can't articulate that very well, but once she grasped that concept and then learned how to manage other people, feeling other people's emotions, then that started to dissipate, and we dealt with some other issues and worked through those. So now she has no medication at all, and that's the same for anybody that wants to do that. That's so amazing. I will put that out there. If you want to get off antidepressants, you can easily get off antidepressants with the right support and help, and never let anybody tell you otherwise.
Right. You know, I was thinking of, I think it's Richard Branson, there's a quote that you put in your book where it's don't, you know, screw it, just do it, or something. And is that the one that's in there? And if you think about an example with that, when you have a client in front of you who you're just like, come on, let's pick something to step and over, you know, draw a line in the sand, step over it, get over it. What were you thinking when you put that in there, that concept? What drove you to put that in the book?
Well, there's three approaches I have to coming out of your comfort zone. The first one, yes, is screw it, just do it. And that's a feeling the fear. And so, you know, sometimes, well, I helped somebody on a radio presenter in the UK recently. He had an intense fear of heights and height anxiety. So I said, okay, let's, on the radio, we actually went to go and do it. So his producer found a very high building. Okay. And so we went up there and we did it, and we did some in the moment strategies to help him get to a particular window he needed to get to look out of. So he shouted in the end, I'm on top of the world.
So you feel it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was great. That's a kind of feel the fear, screw it, just do it. And sometimes for the right person, they need that push in terms of just go and do it, and then you'd feel better. So public speaking would be one of those kind of things. Is you might need some a couple of strategies to help you do that and the motivation to go and do it, but once you do it, those exhilarating feelings of wow, I've actually just done that. And I always say, once you have achieved something like that, if you can actually anchor that state in terms of making sure you capture that feeling, so that then you can go on and you can apply it to any other time you may be feeling anxious or trepidation about something, and then you can actually get that feeling back, and it just helps reignite those same
memories recreated. Yeah,
exactly. So that's all explained in the book.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, we're getting ready to come up on the end. I want to ask you really quickly to give me a description of this new age fear that you talk about. So when you mention it, yeah, like an observation that you have of what's happening in society. So we have a couple minutes and then we're going to come back in a week and talk about more of this subject, because I absolutely love it. But what are your observations on this new age fear out there?
That we're actually, people are besieged by a background anxiety, because we seem so exposed, our lives are so exposed and subject to scrutiny these days, particularly through social media, but also 24/7 news. You know, it's like doomsday every day. If you constantly engross yourself in the news, it filters in. So it's like a mass negative hypnosis in a sense. You've got Dr. Google, so people put in their symptoms, you know, what's wrong with them, and you come up, you know, you're dying next week. So it's
right,
you know, scary right. for people. And I think sometimes when we see certain things on the TV, films and media, you know, it scares people to death. I even talk about a way some people are getting in terms of a fear of gender. So, you know, women could be, you know, scared of men in certain contexts, you know, from all the right. stories we've had out there. Right. Yes, there are people that do bad things and rape women and everything else, but it's kind of getting that fear culture as if all men are like
drilling,
that.
Yeah,
it's drilling. Yeah, the overgeneralization of things. It's like in the summer, I was sat in the park having a picnic, and there was a little toddler, very cute little boy, trailing behind his mom, and he was going up to everybody, offering them his sweeties or candy. And gorgeous little boy. And then his mom actually noticed what he was doing, and she pulled him back and she gave him the biggest telling off. And the little boy was so friendly, and but he was so upset after his mom gave him such a telling off, and she said, "You must never talk to strangers."
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that's then in his what we call imprint period, when he was so young and he was so happy before that, just doing no harm, talking to people. But now that child may grow up more insular and, you know, less friendly and scared to talk to strangers. So it's that kind of thing I'm talking about that's now becoming more prevalent within society, that people are becoming more scared and
shut off the news. Shut up. I stopped watching it in the morning.
Brilliant.
Okay, I stopped. Okay, I'm going to let you go. I have loved having you here. I know our listeners could listen. I could listen to you all day long. So we're going to be back. I'm going to thank you so much for being here. Can you tell everybody how to find you, Emma?
You can indeed. The book website for this is all the W's, outofyourcomfortzone.uk, or there's always just dr-m.co.uk.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Thank you for being here. Next time when Dr. M and I are together, we're going to take this a little bit deeper. We're going to talk about maybe anxiety, some of the foods, some more of the tools, what we can do to help you, give you some suggestions on how you can push outside your comfort zone and live the best you, the biggest, brightest life you can possibly have. You can catch me at 3wellnesspillars.com. You can look for some programs, shop, all those fun things. I'm going to catch you next week. Be here Monday on Coach Couch and Coffee, where we talk all things wellness.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? and I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wellness. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.